It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And we're glad that you're here tonight. Welcome into the Virtual Bible Study. We hope you'll stay tuned. My name is Jacob Gwynn. My dad, Greg Gwynn, joins me tonight. Hello, Dad.
Hey, Jacob. Good to be with you tonight on the Virtual Bible Study. Looking forward to a good discussion of I think interesting Bible topic tonight.
We are going to have an interesting discussion, hopefully. We want to talk about persecution, Dad, and ask the question, should we be expecting persecution today? We live in America. We have freedom of religion. We want to ask the question, though, should we be expecting persecution in America? If so, what kind of persecution can we expect? Look forward to the discussion tonight, Dad. I think it should be very interesting.
That's right. And, of course, as we've been telling everybody each week on the Virtual Bible Study, we're trying to make this a true Bible study, which means that we want your participation in it. So if you're logged on and listening tonight, we're glad you're out there in cyberspace, and we hope that you'll join us by either calling in. Our phone number here in Columbia, Tennessee is area code 931, and then the phone number is 381-4567. Again, that's 931-381-4567. We're set up to take your phone calls. You can be heard live with us on the Virtual Bible Study. And I'm getting a little feedback here, Jacob. And then, of course, a lot of people like to send in email messages, and our address is questions@collegeview.com. Now, that information is on the page wherein you can look at an outline of the things that we're going to be studying tonight. If you will go to the page where you clicked on to listen to the broadcast, you may have to minimize your media player or get it out of your way so you can see, and click the link that leads to tonight's outline. And there's an outline there about our discussion on persecution. And on that page, you'll also have the contact info. So you might like to look at that outline. We certainly want to hear from you.
We want to hear from you tonight, and we want to hear your thoughts. Do you think we should expect persecution in America today? Do you think we should be, as Christians, looking for persecution? Or do you think that persecution is not something we deal with here in America? 931-381-4567 or email us questions@collegeview.com. What are your thoughts? Why not jump in on the discussion here at the beginning and let us know what you think. Do you believe we should be expecting persecution as Christians in America today? Joining us for the discussion tonight, a friend of ours from Nashville who's been on the program with us before, Phil Hunt, is on the phone with us. Hello, Phil.
Hello, Jacob. Thanks for having me on the program tonight.
Look forward to discussing this with you, Phil. Phil is a college student up at Vanderbilt, and we're glad that he's taking time from his studies to join us tonight. Phil, you and I are scheduled to talk about this same subject on the radio in Nashville on Saturday, so we thought it might be a good practice run tonight to talk about it on the Virtual Bible Study and get our listeners' thoughts on persecution and whether or not we should expect it in America.
Oh, absolutely. There's this idea out there that among some people, that being a Christian is going to always be easy. And we want to challenge that idea on the program tonight. And like you said, we are scheduled to be on the radio to discuss it Saturday. I don't want our listeners on this program to think that we're using them as guinea pigs, because this is an important discussion to have. And I'm certainly looking forward to it. I think sometimes there are misconceptions about the idea of persecution and misunderstandings about the expectations that we should have about persecution. And so I think this is a great topic to discuss tonight.
We're looking forward to it. The number to call is 931-381-4567, 931-381-4567, or send us your questions to questions@collegeview.com. What do you think about persecution tonight? Let us know your thoughts. You know, it's very clear, Dad, that persecution of those who are trying to follow Christ does happen in other countries. There's numerous examples of persecution that we could cite of Christians in other countries being persecuted for their faith.
Yeah, let me give you a little rundown. I did some searching on the internet the other day, and I found a website, an outfit called Compass Direct, a Christian news service, and they had some documentation on just some examples. And I just picked a few, and there were numerous of them. But for instance, in Vietnam, in August of this year, a group of 500 church, a 500-member church, was shut down by the governmental authorities because they had no permit that allowed them to assemble. Now, the government shut them down despite the fact that this group had repeatedly tried through the government to obtain such a permit for meeting. And so it's obvious that the government didn't want them to meet, ignored their petitions for a permit, and then closed them down because they didn't have a permit. That sort of thing just never happens to us here in the United States. We can be grateful that we have religious freedom, but it's not so in every place, for instance, in Vietnam.
Well, even in India, this is just a few days ago, a Christian group was meeting in a home when a mob of Hindu extremists stormed the house. Members were threatened, some of them beaten, and then when the police arrived, four members of the group were taken into custody, and they were struck, and one suffered serious injury. Again, numerous examples, Dad, we could quote, of people who are trying to follow Christ in foreign countries. They're getting persecuted right and left in a lot of different countries. And the question then is, should we expect that in America?
Yeah, let me give you another example from China. China, I think, is probably notorious, and a lot of us have heard about some of the religious persecutions going on there. Just a few weeks ago, China passed new regulations on religious affairs. Well, I guess this has been a while back. It came into effect March 1st of this year. The effect of that was to tighten government control over religious activities. Christians who attend unregistered churches or are found in possession of unlicensed religious publications face stiff penalties. Chinese sources have reported widespread phone tapping, interference with email, and internet censorship in mainland China. For instance, in China, they wouldn't be able to do what we're doing on the virtual Bible study, to either conduct such a study or to listen to such a study. It further says that raids on house churches have resulted in members being detained and fined. While in detention, some have been tortured. You know, if you heard in the United States of anybody who had been arrested for going to church, and that while they were under arrest, they had actually also been tortured during that time, I mean, that would, people would be, you know, protesting in the streets if stuff like that happened here. But that's rather commonplace in other places in the world.
That's right. The number to call is 931-381-4567, or send us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. The question we're asking is, it's obvious that Christians are being persecuted in other countries. Should we expect the same in America today? 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com is the email address to send us your comments.
I thought one other thing we might mention, and we're obviously, our purpose tonight, Jacob, is not just to enumerate cases of religious persecution in the world, but I did think one thing was interesting. There's a group called Open Doors that maintains a watch list on various countries of the world and the status of persecution in those countries. They rank the worst countries in the world for persecution against Christianity. Rather interesting, of the top 10 worst countries for persecuting against those trying to practice some form of Christianity, Islam is the majority religion in five of those top 10 countries, and four of the others have communist governments. And so communism and Islam seem to be, at least in the present world, principal sources of attempted persecution against Christians in those kind of countries.
Well, it is amazing the persecution that some people are suffering as they try to serve Christ. It's obvious that we don't suffer those types of persecutions in America, but should we expect any type of persecution in America? You know, America is a very tolerant country where tolerance is promoted, Phil. That is the common buzzword, that we should have diversity, that we should embrace diversity. America is a very diverse country. Should we be expecting persecution tonight is the question as we consider this topic of persecution. Should we expect that in America?
Well, I think that's an excellent question, and you're right. Our society does preach tolerance, and to a certain degree it's codified in the law as far as the Constitution, where we're guaranteed by the state the privilege and in our country the right to exercise religion. We have the right to freely exercise both free speech and to engage in religious service. And so in this country, we've become accustomed to that, and I think to a certain degree we take it for granted, and we at some point and in some ways don't truly understand that number one, people in other places don't have it as good, and number two, that privilege can be taken away, and also that privilege can be taken away from us here. But number three, that we can still endure some form of persecution. Even if it may not be exactly like in other countries, we can still endure persecution. And that's what we want to talk about on the program tonight.
Well, it's true, Phil. We should expect persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning of verse 10, tells us that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning of verse 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Paul states it very clearly there, Dad, that we are going to suffer persecution if we're living righteously. And that then it leads us to the question, what kind of persecution should we be expecting in America today? We're obviously not being beaten for our faith. What kind of persecution should we expect? What forms will that persecution take? That's what we want to talk about on the program
today. Yeah, I hope that some of our listeners will email us or give us a call, give us some suggestions as to what you think may be some of the forms of persecution that we face. But let's just deal with that first point first, and that is that persecution is a reality for those who are faithfully serving the Lord. That verse that you just read, Jacob, in 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 through 12, basically suggests that persecution is going to happen, and if it's not, then that should be an indicator to us that we're not doing something right. Paul, in that context, made reference to his own persecution, talked about some of the mistreatment that he had received, and then he said, and that's going to happen to everybody. Last night, Jacob, in our Wednesday night Bible study here at the College View Church in Columbia, Tennessee, we were studying in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and Paul talked to the Christians there. He had just recently left from there, having established the church in Thessalonica, and he was commenting upon their reception of the gospel. Actually, this is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says that you became... 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 14, "Ye brethren became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, for ye are also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." And so these Christians, shortly after they had become members of the body of Christ, had suffered persecution. But notice what he said a little later in chapter 3, at verse 4, he said, "Verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass." So, Paul had not tried to keep it secret from them. In his preaching and teaching, he had actually given them advice. You can expect this. This is going to happen.
Well, that's true. And the number to call is 931-381-4567. What are your thoughts tonight about persecution? What type of persecution should we expect? What forms will persecution take for us as Christians in America? 931-381-4567, or send us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. We want to hear from you tonight on the phone and on the email. You know, Phil, as we talk about this subject, we received a warning from Christ while he was on the earth that we ought to be prepared for persecution, that it was going to come our way if we were living right.
Oh, absolutely. I think one place that we can go for that is John chapter 15. Especially beginning in verse 18, where it says there, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." We have been promised, that if our Lord has promised us, that if we will follow him, we will be persecuted. He was persecuted. We will be persecuted too. You know, he also warns us that to be careful when people speak well of us. You know, for example, in Luke 6:26, where it says, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." If the world loves us, it's an indication that we're actually of the world, because the world loves its own. And so if we're vastly popular, if everybody likes what we're doing, and nobody ever gives us a hard time for doing what's right, then odds are we're not doing what's right. And so we need to understand that there will be consequences in our interpersonal relationships as a result of being a Christian. Some people will have a problem with us trying to do what's right. And to a certain degree, if we are doing what's right and people give us a hard time about it, if they persecute us as a result, whether it's not getting a particular promotion or whatever it may be, if the world likes us, we should be very careful and examine ourselves. And, you know, if the world doesn't like what we're doing and we are doing what's right, that should be, in a sense, encouragement to keep on doing it. And, you know, that's a tough pill to swallow, but I think that's what the Lord teaches us there.
Okay. Hey, Phil, as you were talking there, I was just, it was coming to my mind to mention that, you know, when we experience those kind of things, and by the way, I'd like for some of our listeners, maybe send us an email, give us a call, and tell us something that you've experienced or something that you see as a real practical example of the kind of thing we're talking about. We'd be glad to hear from you along those lines. But the fact of the matter is that the history of God's faithful people has always been that they were persecuted for what they were trying to do in service to the Lord. We might comment about that in a minute, but Jacob, maybe it's time for us to take our first break.
It is a time for a break, and we're glad that you're here, and we hope you'll stay tuned. When we get back, we want to look at some examples of persecution, and we want to take a call or a comment from you over email to let us know what you think are some areas of persecution that we should expect today. As we've noted, if we're living faithfully, we will suffer persecution. What are some areas where we should expect to suffer persecution? The number to call is 931-381-4567, 931-381-4567, or send us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. That's questions@collegeview.com. We're talking about persecution on the program tonight. We're glad that you're here. We hope you'll stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
You won't want to miss what we talk about next. The discussion continues right after these important messages.
Do you remember when churches taught the truth in a straightforward and direct way with no sugarcoating? Can you recall when homosexuality was plainly condemned and unscriptural divorce and remarriage was not tolerated? Can you think back to a time when you heard hard sermons on moral issues like dancing, immodest dress, and filthy movies? Do you long for a return to the kind of teaching and preaching that you heard 30 or 40 years ago? The College View Church is trying hard to maintain the same moral principles that have been associated with God's people throughout the ages. They want to hold the line against the drifting that is characterized in so many churches today. Come and see. Visit the College View Church of Christ.
I'm Roy Smith. I'm 12 years old, and I love to listen to the virtual Bible study.
A streaming Bible study. Why didn't I think of that? Now back to the guys.
And welcome back to the program. We're glad that you're here tonight on the virtual Bible study as we look at the important question of persecution and ask the question, what kind of persecution should we expect? The Bible is very clear in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. What type of persecution should we expect? You know, Phil, I think a lot of times that we sort of shy away from persecution, that we avoid any circumstance where we might be persecuted or might have to suffer for our faith. But the Bible is very clear there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, that we should be suffering persecution if we're a faithful follower of Christ. And so I think it's contrary to what a lot of people in the religious world are approaching their life as a Christian, trying to avoid the persecution that may come their way. We're told very clearly there that we will suffer persecution if we're living properly.
Well, it's interesting to also note that Paul was writing to Timothy there. God was speaking to Timothy through Paul, and Timothy was a young preacher. And you read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, over in chapter 4, Paul tells him to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season. Before that, though, he told him that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And Timothy is a young preacher who's being told to preach the truth, but also being told that he will be persecuted as a result. And the same principle applies for us today. If we're going to do what's right, we should expect persecution, and we shouldn't alter our lives. We shouldn't compromise our standard that God has given us in order to avoid persecution. The fact is, if we're going to be pleasing to God, there are going to be difficulties that we will face at some point.
Just before the break, I was mentioning that God's faithful people have always been persecuted, and the Old Testament prophets are a great example of that. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen was making his defense before the people in Jerusalem. And, of course, these were some of the very same people who had been responsible for crucifying Jesus. And he said to them, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye now have been the betrayers and murderers. And so Stephen said, really, all of the prophets of the Old Testament suffered persecution for their faith and for their work. And that's just has been historically the case of those trying to do the will of God. And of course, we know in the first century, just almost as soon as the church began, Christians began to be persecuted. Kind of an interesting progression in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. It says, as the apostles spake to the people, the priest and certain of the and the captain of the temple, rather, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Skipping down to verse 18, they called them, commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go. So in Acts 4, now remember, the church just began in Acts 2. So just days later, and the account of it's recorded in Acts 4, the first hint of persecution against the Christians, and the apostles were taken, that they were put in custody overnight. The next day they were threatened, and they were let go, but they didn't stop preaching. They were commanded to stop preaching, but they didn't. So in the very next chapter, Acts 5, they called the apostles and they beat them, and they commanded them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. So from chapter 4, they were threatened. Chapter 5, they were beaten. And then when you get to chapter 7, they actually killed a man, Stephen, the first Christian martyr. In Acts chapter 7, verses 57 and 58, the crowd cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon Stephen with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And so what I'm saying here, Jacob, is it didn't take very long for the church to be persecuted, and it progressed rather rapidly from verbal threats to physical violence and ultimately to murder.
You know why it didn't take very long? Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The Christians of the first century were living godly, and they suffered persecution as a result. And we should expect the same. It's very obvious from the scriptures, Phil, that persecution should be coming our way if we're living a godly life and trying to follow Christ.
Well, absolutely. You know, we're talking about the idea that God's people throughout the ages have been persecuted. You know, we can go back just shortly after creation with Cain and Abel. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, let's read the description of Abel. It says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. All the way back to Cain and Abel, the scriptures describe Abel as being righteous, and he was murdered as a result by his own brother. If that's not persecution, I don't know what is. And so back from the very beginning, we see where God's people throughout the ages have been persecuted. Why God allows that to happen, God has his reasons. But the fact is, God allows it to happen. And in some cases, it's actually furthered his will to allow that to happen. And it's important to understand that God's people have always been persecuted, and if we are going to be one of God's children, if we are going to live right, we will suffer too as a result. It's not just us. People before us have suffered as well. And if the world continues to stand, people after us will be persecuted as well if they're going to live right, if they're going to live godly lives. And that's something that we need to come to grips with.
All right. Well, I think we've proven the point, guys, that if we're going to live right, if we're going to follow Christ, we will suffer persecution. Now that this begs the question, what kind of persecution?
Yeah.
Number to call is 931-381-4567. We'll hear from you on the phone tonight, 931-381-4567, or email us your questions to questions@collegeview.com.
You know, if we're, again, just to summarize what we've said so far, if we're not experiencing persecution today, then something has changed, something is different, and that change and that difference indicates that we are not being what God expects us to be, because we're supposed to be living the kind of lives that will produce some negative reaction from people of the world who hate the Lord and hate what His truth says. And so if we're not living in such a way that we're getting some of that negative reaction, now, mind you, we're not out there purposely looking to be tortured or persecuted, but we're just saying that it's an inevitable outcome of living a righteous life. Now, let me go to a couple emails, Jacob. We've got one from Kimberly in Mount Pleasant, Tennessee. Glad Kimberly's listening with her family. It says, I think we need to wake up. I think we need a wake-up call on this idea of persecution. We struggle hard as Christians to keep our children from being taught worldly things. We are in a totally different society than anyone ever has been before. There's never been the multimedia before. Our children are being drug away from us right out from under our noses. As far as physical persecution, we don't necessarily have to endure in this country, but mental persecution is a real thing for those of us that are trying to live righteous lives. And so I think that's a good observation. certainly we live in a time when there's a lot of new things going on around us that never have been out there before, things like the internet. They present a lot of challenges to us. We don't have physical persecution. I think that's the thing I'm really taking from this comment, is that we don't have physical persecution, but the persecution can come in different forms, Jacob.
That's right. 931-381-4567 is the number to call with your ideas and comments on what type of persecution we should be suffering. Maybe you disagree. Maybe you think that we live in a world where we're not going to suffer persecution. You can call in as well and let us know your thoughts. 931-381-4567, or send those emails to questions@collegeu.com.
I'd like especially to hear from somebody who maybe thinks that we're taking the wrong approach on this. You know, there may be some of you listening who think, no, we want to live in such a way that we don't disturb our neighbors, that we don't upset people with the way we're trying to live, that we should not be living in such a fashion that will result in persecution. If you feel that way, let us know, because we're very much coming to the conclusion, based upon what we're reading here in the Word of God, that righteous living inevitably produces persecution. You may see it differently. Let us know if you do.
We want to hear from you if you disagree, but we'd like to hear from you as well if you agree. A lot of you will likely agree with us in our conclusions. What areas do you see our potential areas for persecution? Let us know on the phone or over email. Looking forward to hearing from you tonight.
Kelly in Chapel Hill, Tennessee, has written to simply suggest a verse from 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 4, which says, they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excessive riot. In other words, there in that context, Peter was saying that Christians are living a changed life, and they're not doing the things they used to do, and therefore the people of the world will think we are strange. That in itself is a form of persecution, when people think you're strange, you know, and that you're just not like everybody else.
Well, Phil, I'm sure that every high school student and college student who has tried to live godly has been considered strange by his or her classmates, and you may be able to comment on that, Phil, but a lot of people in the world will ridicule us if we're trying to live right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. As you mentioned at the beginning of the program, I am finishing school up here at Vanderbilt, and well, the weekend starts on Thursday nights, just to put it that way. And, well, people sometimes think it's strange if you're not out running around doing the things that a lot of the people are doing. By no means is that to say that everybody is engaged in drinking or lasciviousness or things along those lines. That's not to say that everybody is, but it's a very very prominent component on a college campus. The same thing goes with high school students as well.
I'm sure, Phil, that if you were to let people know what you were doing on Thursday night up there at Vanderbilt, when a lot of people in the dorms are out partying tonight, and you're having a Bible study, no doubt a lot of people think you're strange up there at Vanderbilt tonight.
Yeah, they think you're nuts. First of all, to believe that the Bible is the Word of God, for one thing, but then to sit down and spend time studying it, that's just ludicrous. Yeah, I mean, if people knew, they would have a problem with it.
Well, there's your first area where we can be persecuted and we can be thought strange and ridiculed by others for our faith. What are some other areas you think that we could be persecuted in America? 931-381-4567, or send us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. We'll go ahead and take the bottom of the hour break now. When we get back, we want to take a comment from you. 931-381-4567, or email us questions@collegeview.com. Stay with us. We're back right after this.
Did you hear what they just said? Call in during this break and let everyone know what you think. The virtual Bible study continues after this announcement.
Do you remember when the emphasis of the work of the church was on teaching the gospel, converting the lost, and strengthening the saints? Can you recall good old-fashioned gospel preaching that appealed to the Bible as the sole and final authority in all religious matters? Are you tired of seeing churches that seem much more interested in social events and entertainment than in simply following the New Testament pattern? Would you love to hear lessons from the pulpit like you used to hear? Do you want to find a church that is still doing things the way you remember from years ago? If these things describe the way you are feeling, please visit us soon. Come and see. Visit us at the College View Church of Christ.
Hello, my name's Jeffrey Vernon. I'm 13, and this is the Virtual Bible Study.
Hello, everyone. I'm Brent Haynes. I'm a member of the College View Church of Christ. A lot of people in the religious world today tell us that as long as our heart is right and we truly love God, we can do whatever we want in our service to Him. They say that what we do doesn't matter because God is only interested in our heart. I believe they have it all wrong. True, God is interested in our hearts, but He's also interested in our actions. One reason why is because our actions describe the true condition of our heart. This is what Jesus taught in Matthew 12, verse 34, when he said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So I believe that if we are doing whatever we want to in our service and are not serving God exactly like he has asked, then our heart is not right before God. The members of the College View Church of Christ are committed to making sure that both our hearts and our actions are pleasing to God. If you're interested in doing the same, we encourage you to join us for worship this Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m.
Hi, my name is Mike Holt. My wife and I, we love listening to the virtual Bible study.
We're waiting to hear from you. Call in right now and join in on the virtual Bible study. Now, back to the program.
And we're back. Welcome back to the program. We're glad that you're here on the virtual Bible study tonight, examining the important question, what type of persecution should we expect in America? America is a country that promotes its tolerance, but yet we see the Bible tells us we will be persecuted if we're living faithfully. We want to hear from you. And here are areas where you believe we might be persecuted tonight. 931-381-4567, or email us questions at collegeview.com. Speaking of questions over email, we have a few that we need to take.
Yes, we got an email from Cynthia here in Columbia, Tennessee. Cynthia has become one of our regular listeners, and Cynthia, we're really glad you're out there listening to the virtual Bible study. She says, I worked at a hospital in Nashville that led an employee that celebrates Ramadan. Of course, that's an Islamic holiday. They let this Islamic employee to celebrate Ramadan. They gave him the whole month of October. Of course, that celebration goes on through the whole month of October. And they gave him several weeks off and changed his work schedule to nights so that he could be there during the day with others to celebrate. She says, I've never seen them do that with employees that just ask off for another kind of a holy day that someone who's called themselves a Christian might celebrate, a Holy Week, a Good Friday, something like that. She says Easter is the hardest time for a person to get off at the hospital if they're scheduled to work on that day. So she says, I think we are discriminated against at work. She says, I also know of Christians that work in schools that would like to help poor kids. She mentions maybe giving a necklace with a cross. They've been threatened not even to have Christian material in the parking lot at a school. She says, I know it's worse in other countries, but do you think it's coming here in the future where we'll be jailed in the U.S. for calling ourselves Christians? Certainly, I think that that's a possibility.
What do you think about that, Phil?
I think it is a possibility. You know, I don't want to get into the area of politics, and that's not the purpose of the program, but there are certain factions out there on the extreme, I think both left and right, that would like to see Christian sentiments suppressed. You know, all the other religions, they can say whatever they want. We have to be tolerant of the Muslims, but a Christian doesn't have a right to say what he or she believes.
You know, it's interesting. You know, it's interesting, Phil. These Muslim groups are sending around these suicide bombers, and they just sort of get overlooked the fact that they're Muslim. Yet if there was some type of Christian extremist group, and that obviously would not be right, but if some type of Christian extremist strapped some dynamite on their chest and walked around into some populated area and detonated themselves, that'd be in the news all over the place that this was an extremist Christian, but we don't hear the same of the Muslim who blows himself up.
Oh, I think that's right. And, you know, if a Christian was to do that, and like you said, it wouldn't be right, but if they did, I think the calls from people to jail Christians would skyrocket. I think more so than Muslims. Obviously, you know, our country is taking physical force against terrorists. We all understand that. But I personally think that given some of the types that we have out there who are very vocal, that they would be willing to do to Christians what they criticize it, what they accuse the administration of doing to Muslims. And I think the point is there being a double standard there, where it's okay for Muslims to say what they believe, but if a Christian says that, they can be labeled as being intolerant or a bigot.
Again,
I think there's a double standard there.
Again, Phil, we want to remind our listeners, we're not saying it'd be right for a Christian to use dynamite in any way to harm others, but it's just the double standard there that the Muslims somehow get a pass on their beliefs and their faith, where the Christians are called into question. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com.
I think Cynthia's observations are right, and we've all, I think, witnessed some of the same things. We're supposed to be super tolerant of other world religions, but when it comes to Christianity, at least in America, there's becoming an increasing intolerance for the practice of what we believe we should do in service to God. So in answer to her question, do you think it's coming here where we might be jailed in the U.S.? I don't know. We'd like to think that that wouldn't happen. But certainly we are seeing some forms of persecution against those who call themselves Christians. It's just very obvious, and she gives some examples of that, and certainly it's happening.
It may or may not ever happen, but it needs to be our attitude and our mindset that we're prepared for that, and we're preparing ourselves for the persecution that may come where we may be jailed. You know, that was what the instruction to the Christians were given in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. They were warned, Phil, there, of the pending persecution, and they were told to prepare for that and to be faithful throughout whatever physical persecution they may suffer.
That's right. The church at Smyrna was the specific recipients of this instruction. And part B of that verse says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." And you know, the church at Smyrna there, and the principle would apply beyond that one local body, but the principle is that be faithful even to the point of death. You will suffer persecution. Beginning of the verse says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." The Lord is telling the church in Smyrna that they were going to suffer persecution, but if they would be faithful, if they would not deny the Lord, that they would have the crown of life laid up for them in heaven when their life here on this earth was over. And that should be our goal too. We need to, as difficult as things may be, and I would venture to say that none of the people listening to this broadcast, I don't know who all is, but I would guess that everybody listening to the program has not suffered physical persecution like they did in the first century. But we will suffer persecution. And we're told that we're to be faithful unto death. And if we do remain faithful unto death, we will receive the crown of life. And that we need to keep things in perspective as much as we can.
Let me go to a couple other emails along the lines of some of the things we've been talking about, Phil. Britt in Cullioca, Tennessee, says, "It's been my experience that if you do those things that are right as a Christian, people know you do not do those things that they do. You will not be popular. You will be left out. They will think you are odd, laughed at, and at times not taken seriously." This goes along the line of some of the things we were saying earlier about suffering ridicule because we're living as a Christian. I think Britt's exactly right. Preston, down in Georgia, Preston's one of our regular listeners. Preston, we're glad that you're out there. He says, "Yes, I believe we are persecuted, by no means like people in other places, but every day we may be persecuted. We need to be glad, 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 16, and give glory to God. That would be hard not to be hateful toward an enemy, not to fight back, but we should be glad and glorify God. We should have exceeding joy." Preston suggests something we want to talk about before we're done with our discussion tonight, Jacob, and that is that we want to talk about how we should react to persecution. We want to do that. We'll probably do that in our last segment, but I think Preston's right on the mark. Thanks for the comments,
Preston. Thanks for your email, Preston. Glad you're listening.
Leanne over in Cookeville, Tennessee. Leanne, glad to hear that you're out there listening tonight. She references Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. It talks about those that are persecuted are blessed. God tells us to rejoice, for we have our reward waiting. I think Leanne is right, too, and I think she's on the mark concerning how we should react to persecution. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on. You know, one other thing that I might mention, we're talking about some of the kinds of persecution that may come our way. You know, I know people, Jacob, you probably do, too, I'm sure you do, that have suffered rejection and alienation from their families because they've tried to do the right thing and serve the Lord. And Jesus said that that might happen too. In Matthew chapter 10, beginning verse 34, Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Jesus said it very likely may happen that because you're trying to do the right thing, you may even suffer alienation from your own family. That would certainly be a hard form of persecution.
That may be more harmful to us than a physical persecution, to know that our family has been alienated from us for our stand. But that is what the Bible teaches us that we must be willing to take. And that's a very realistic possibility that those in our families could reject us for our faith. The number to call is 931-381-4567, or email us your comments to questions@collegeview.com. We're going to go over to Shelbyville, Tennessee, and welcome Daniel. Daniel, welcome to the virtual Bible study.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening tonight, and welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Your comment or question?
Well, it's kind of just a statement. I wanted to tell about a particular instance I had where I was in high school. I'm obviously out of high school now, but there was an instance I had where a teacher was just pretty much bent on getting me to admit that being gay was an alternate lifestyle. And it was a hard persecution to deal with, but...
Daniel, you're saying that this teacher was trying to force you to acknowledge that homosexuality was okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was hard to go through at the time. I got rid of things, but one thing I noticed that came out of it was that I had other students ask me, you know, what's your religion all about? I hear you're having some trouble with this teacher. Tell me what it's all about.
And so Daniel, you were called then to make a stand, and that was a difficult thing to do, I'm sure.
Yes, yes.
You know, in a Bible study we had here today, Daniel, at the College View Church in Columbia, we meet on Thursday mornings for a Bible study at 10 o'clock, and we were talking about the Bible character, Daniel. Kind of interesting that you called tonight, because we were talking about the Bible character, Daniel, and he had to take a stand for what was right. He ended up being thrown in the lion's den for it, so he certainly suffered a hard persecution, but he was blessed by God for doing so, and I know God blesses us when we take a stand for what's right.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Daniel.
No problem.
Thanks for listening over there in Shelbyville. We are glad that you're online, and we're glad you're listening. The number to call is 931-381-4567, 931-381-4567, or you can send us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. That's questions@collegeview.com. And we got a lot of emails we need to get to there, I think. Do we have any more?
We got some more emails. We got an email from... let's see here. We got an email from Timothy in Mount Pleasant, Tennessee. How many of us have been ridiculed for not letting our children attend dances or let our children wear shorts playing sports? When we do as society does, we know we
back up. All right, we're back up. If you're there, we'd like to hear from you. 931-381-4567 or email us questions@collegeview.com. And let's go ahead and Phil, do you have a stream there now?
Yes, you are getting out.
We are out now, and so if you're still there, we're glad that you're there. If we ever do stop like that, if you hit your play button again, we should be able to pull back up. So we apologize for any delay and any loss of the study there tonight, but let's go ahead and try and get it back online here, Dad. Go ahead and read that question from Timothy again.
Okay, Timothy was suggesting, are we getting a stream, Jacob?
We do have a stream.
Okay. Timothy was suggesting that if we do what society wants us to do, then they will accept us, and we will not be ridiculed. But if we take a stand, for instance, if we take a stand on not letting our kids go to dances or not letting our kids wear shorts, even when they're playing sports, if we take a stand on things like that, people will think we're odd, and they'll talk about us behind our back, and they may act like they don't like us because of that. But that's, as I was saying, Jacob, it seems to me like the general tone of most of these emails is that that's the kind of persecution we're experiencing these days, is that people will sort of ridicule us for our faith.
And, you know, at the time of that persecution, Phil, that seems to be somewhat of a difficult persecution to suffer, but we see that the Bible shows us that we could even suffer much more difficult areas of persecution. You know, those are really minor when we think about the persecution that we could suffer. We need to be prepared to suffer a lot more than just some ridicule.
Yeah, you know, Jesus said that we might even expect to lose financially or even to lose property. Because, for instance, in Hebrews chapter 10, Paul was writing to, if he be the writer of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer was saying, call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made gazing stocks both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became a companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. So notice he mentions that they had joyfully accepted the spoiling of their goods, suggesting the fact that they had actually maybe even had property confiscated or other physical possessions taken away from them. So again, that's a form of... Now, today that's not likely to happen to us, But it might be that we would suffer a financial reversal because maybe we wouldn't do something on a job that, you know, maybe do something unethical or immoral that an employer was asking us to do. You know, so there could be those kind of things today.
Let's leave that hanging while we go to our last break and ask the question, where could we suffer financially? How, in what ways could we suffer financially as a result of our faith? What areas could we be persecuted financially? 931-381-4567 or email us questions@collegeu.com. If you're back with us now after we dropped off there, we apologize for that difficulty, but we're glad that you're here, and we hope you'll stay tuned to the top of the hour. We'll continue the study as we talk about persecution on the program tonight. Stay with us. We're back right after this.
Enjoying the virtual Bible study? Email a friend during this break and tell them to join in on the discussion. There's more exciting Bible study after this commercial.
Hello, everyone. I'm Monty, a member of the College View Church of Christ. So you've been hearing all about the College View Church of Christ on the virtual Bible study and are interested in finding out more about the church, but you live hundreds of miles away from Columbia, Tennessee, and can't come and visit with the congregation to find out more. There's no reason to fear. After all, we live in the 21st century. Here's what you can do to find out more about the College View Church of Christ. First, why don't you check out our website while you're listening to the virtual Bible study? You'll find important information about the church there, including bulletin articles there on various subjects, and can even listen to sermons that have been presented at the College View Church in the past. Secondly, if you have questions about the church or about any Bible teaching, why don't you send an email to us and let us know how we can help? Send your questions to questions@collegeview.com. That address, once again, is questions@collegeview.com. We can even have a personal Bible study with you over email if you desire. And finally, if you would rather talk with someone in person, give us a call at 931-381-4567. That's 931-381-4567. You can call this number anytime. If you don't get an answer, leave a message and we'll call you back as soon as we can. We're glad you're listening to the virtual Bible study and hope to hear from you soon.
My name is Roger Toombs, and me and my wife love to listen to the virtual Bible study on Thursday nights.
Quit checking your email. The commercials are over, and the virtual Bible study is ready to roll. Take it away, guys.
And we're back. Welcome back to the virtual Bible study tonight. About 15 minutes more to go. As we talk about persecution and areas where we should suffer persecution tonight, what are your comments? What are your thoughts? I want to wrap things up tonight, Dad, by looking at our reaction to the persecution. We've shown very clearly from the Scriptures that the Bible is not ambiguous. The Bible very, very clearly tells us we're going to suffer persecution. We've looked at some of those areas tonight. How should we react to the persecution that we will face as we strive to serve God by following Christ?
Well, one of the probably the first thing we should mention, and it goes back to an email that we got from Leanne in Cookeville, Tennessee, suggesting the idea that we ought to actually rejoice in the persecution. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 beginning, Jesus said, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And so now, you know, maybe the typical or maybe assumed reaction would be that we'd be depressed, discouraged, all downhearted because we've been persecuted. But Jesus said if we can look at things from the right spiritual perspective, we'll realize that, as we were saying earlier, we're in the good company of all of God's faithful people through the ages. They persecuted the prophets which were before us, therefore they will persecute us. You know, and we need to realize that this is necessary, this is inevitable, and that we're going to be rewarded by God both in this life and in the life to come if we'll remain faithful to Him.
Phil, you know, that was what the first century Christians, their attitude was, is they suffered persecution.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, the Book of Acts is a really good book to look at to see an inspired account of the history of the first century church. And in Acts chapter 5, we see what their reaction was to persecution. They're beginning in verse 40 of Acts chapter 5. It says, "And to him they agreed, and when they called the apostles and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were accounted worthy to suffer shame for his name." Notice verse 42. "And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." That, to me, is a very powerful text. They rejoiced because they knew they were accounted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Christ. And they kept teaching. That was what they did. They rejoiced and they kept doing what's right. That's an amazing example for us to try to follow. We're told to follow it. And I think it's amazing to look at the fortitude of the first century Christians. There's little doubt in my mind that these people were true believers. They weren't half-hearted, I'll go visit the assemblies every once in a while. They truly believed what they were being persecuted for, and they still remained faithful. And I think, Jacob, the example that they leave us is a great one to follow.
Absolutely. You know, Dad, why would those first century Christians rejoice at their persecution? What are some reasons why we should rejoice when we're persecuted?
Well, one of the things that's interesting about them is they were willing to endure that persecution because they were firsthand eyewitnesses of the resurrected Jesus. And so their willingness to suffer persecution serves as a positive evidence for our faith. They did it because they knew firsthand, and therefore their example is a real strong form of evidence that we have to establish our faith. They were willing to do it because they knew it. Ultimately it was all that mattered, that it was the most important thing. Well, I think one of the things that's interesting here, and another point that we should add, how to react to persecution: rejoice in it because you're seeing it from the right perspective, but also do not allow it to force you to compromise anything. These Christians that Phil was just reading to us about in Acts chapter 5, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, and daily in the house, daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus. In other words, the persecution did not force them to back down, and we cannot back down either when we're persecuted.
The number to call again is 931-381-4567. We have plenty of time to take your questions or comments tonight on the phones, 931-381-4567, or email us questions@collegeu.com.
You know, along that line of not backing down and not compromising, that would be true even if it was something to do with our family. We mentioned earlier that one form of persecution might be alienation from family over religious things. But Jesus warned in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, beginning, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Even if it meant that I would be alienated from some of my dearest loved ones in my family, I cannot compromise. Even if I have to suffer that hard, very hard form of persecution, I cannot compromise.
Well, then, along those lines, Jesus makes a very hard statement in Mark chapter 8, verse 38. "Whosoever, therefore, shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in glory, in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." You see very clearly there's no room for compromise in the face of the persecution we may face.
Let me go to an email, Jacob. We got an email from Aaron down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Aaron's one of our regular listeners. Aaron, glad you all are down there.
Yeah, I think that email's from Sherry.
Is it from Sherry?
Yeah, we want
well,
to
Well, Sherry is Aaron's wife. It is from Sherry. I see it. I didn't go to the bottom of the list. Sherry, we're glad you're out there, and I hope you can get Aaron to listen with you. But Aaron and Sherry usually listen to us down in Baton Rouge, and we're glad that you're down there. She writes this: "Most of us believe that we would be faithful unto death, but in America we're not called on to do that. How many Christians that might imagine they would suffer physically for Christ are unwilling to suffer financially, socially, etc., on a daily or weekly basis?" Now, get the point that Sherry's making here. People like to think, yeah, if I was called upon to die for Christ, I would, but they don't evidence that because they're not willing to suffer financially or socially, etc. I think it's a good observation. She goes on to give some examples. For example, many Christians won't leave a job that requires them to work during assembly times. They're unwilling to suffer by giving up the extra income. Their absence is a real discouragement to the rest of us. But again, she's making the point, they're not willing to suffer that. Another, most Christians won't attempt to get to the church building when it snows or if the power's out. They're afraid of being injured on the way, but isn't it worth the risk? And she goes on to say, many Christians will stay at home with minor physical ailments when they could suffer in order to encourage their brethren. Of course, she's not suggesting that we should spread contagious disease, and I think she's right, but I understand the point she's making. She says, if you're able to sit on the couch and watch TV, are you not able to sit on a bench at church and listen to a Bible lesson? They are unwilling to suffer a little physically to obey a command to assemble, yet they probably claim that they'd be faithful if they lived in a situation like the Chinese brethren faced. And she says, that's something to think about. I see Sherry's point exactly. She's saying, we claim that we would be faithful to the Lord, even to the point if they, you know, if they held a gun to our head and asked us to confess our faith, we'd do it. I mean, we'd lay our life on the line. That's what we claim. But in reality, too many Christians are not willing to even suffer a little inconvenience in order to assemble for worship and so forth. And so what we claim versus what we demonstrate many times is they just don't match up.
Again, the number to call is 931-381-4567, or send us your comments to questions@collegeview.com. That's questions@collegeview.com. Lots of email there that just came in.
Oh, yeah, got an email from, now I better check. This is from Mike and Chris in Columbia, and I think it's probably Mike writing. I don't want to make the same mistake I made a minute ago. Here's the comment. I know that some of my favorite Bible events that happened are when servants of God are being persecuted, yet they stand up for the truth. I think they can be very encouraging to us. Examples like Joseph, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel. And one of my favorites in 1 Kings 22 with the example of Micaiah, how he doesn't bow to the pressure to conform just because everyone else is. But most of all, because when he did, that was right. When he did what was right, he wasn't rewarded material for it. He was thrown back in prison and given bread and water. I think we can learn from that just because we do what is right when we are being persecuted doesn't necessarily mean we'll be rewarded in this life for it. And I think that's a good point. We're not saying that you do right and God's going to increase your bank account. You do right and everything's going to go good on your job. No, that doesn't necessarily follow. Lots of God's faithful people have suffered hard physical difficulties for their faith. But God will bless us, and ultimately in heaven, we certainly will be rewarded for doing the right thing. Mike goes on, he says, I agree wholeheartedly that time is coming in America when we will face persecution for preaching the truth. I did a quick search and found some examples listed before, or listed below if you want to reference them, and then he gives some examples. We're running out of time, so we may not get to those examples, but he's done what we were suggesting earlier, that a quick internet search will show that there's quite a bit of religious persecution going on in the world.
I see there quickly, though, he references a hate law, hate speech law in Sweden there where someone was put in prison because of a hate speech law. I think that's an area where we're talking about where Christians will be persecuted and be thrown in prison. I think that day is coming, Dad, where if we say something against homosexuality, for instance, we'll be violating a hate speech law and we'll likely be thrown in prison. Those laws are already in the works in America, and I think that day is coming.
Yeah, I think, that, for instance, to speak out against homosexuality or to preach against abortion, they're going to make it so that becomes criminal activity. Now, the question is, how are we going to react when they do? In other words, Jacob, if you knew that the government was keeping an eye on you and that if you ever spoke out against homosexuality, they would come to either fine you or imprison you, what would you do?
All right, well, here's what we have to do. Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Yeah, that's an easy thing to say when we're talking about maybe being ridiculed. It's somewhat easy to say we should rejoice and be exceedingly glad. We're talking about being thrown in prison, taken away from our families, to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Phil, that's a harder statement. But the statement and the instruction from Jesus remains the same. That should be our attitude.
Yeah, I think you're right. I know we don't have time to get into it, but I would encourage the listeners to read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul describes the things that he went through. And when I read this, I'm really ashamed at how bad sometimes that I think I have it. And I look at what other people have gone through, and it's nothing. And, you know, we do need to rejoice and be exceeding glad. I think it's important that we establish that before the persecution happens, so we will do that when the persecution happens, because as we mentioned at the beginning of the program, persecution will come to those who are living godly.
Well, Dad, quickly, there's some spiritual benefits that can come from our persecution. We need to understand those spiritual benefits, and if we'll understand them, it'll help us to be glad when we have the opportunity to suffer persecution.
All right. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, James says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And so James says that going through hard times actually helps us grow spiritually. And this is the way we've got to look at it. Anything that happens to me that makes me a stronger spiritual person, makes me more fit for the Master's use, and better prepares me to stand in judgment and ultimately receive the reward of heaven, whatever it is, even if it's a horrible consequence in this present physical world, if it helps me go to heaven, it can be viewed ultimately as a good thing.
That's right. And finally, if we'll have the proper attitude, we will not compromise while we're suffering the persecution. We understand that suffering persecution gives us the opportunity to glorify God. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are the partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." And then in verse 16 of 1 Peter chapter 4, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." We can bring glory to God's name, Dad, if we will follow his instructions in spite of whatever persecution we may suffer.
Yeah, and that's been our theme for discussion tonight. I'm glad for all who've been listening and participating with emails and phone calls. Glad that you were could join us for the virtual Bible study tonight. It's certainly something to think about. Maybe in America we sort of take it for granted and it's not often on our mind, but we've got to be prepared for persecution. It comes in various forms, and several people have suggested how they see it happening even in our world here in America today. Certainly in other places in the world, it happens on a more manifest level, but we are suffering persecution, and we must. It's a reality for Christians.
Phil, thank you for taking time out of your schedule up there at Vanderbilt to join us on the program tonight. Enjoyed the discussion with you.
Thank you, Jacob.
We're glad that you joined us on the virtual Bible study tonight. We appreciate you listening and hope that you benefited from the time we spent together in the study of God's Word. If you have any questions about the things that we talked about on the program tonight, why don't you send us an email? Send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. Use that email anytime during the week if you have questions about things in the Bible, or if you have any suggestions for future programs on the virtual Bible study. Send us that question or comment to questions@collegeview.com. Dad, I want to remind our listeners, we're running out of time, remind our listeners that this program is brought to them by the College View Church of Christ. If they're in the College View Columbia area, we would encourage them to come and find out what the College View Church of Christ is all about.
Yeah, if you're anywhere near Columbia, please come and visit us at College View. We're real easy to find. We're on the west side of town. We're right across from the Columbia State Community College, thus our name, College View. That's where it comes from. And so if you're in the Columbia area, most people in Columbia area know where the community college is. If you come into Columbia from some other area and you happen to be visiting our area, there's signs all over town pointing you to Columbia State. Follow those signs. You'll find College View.
Come and find out what we're all about. Thanks again for being with us on the program tonight. We look forward to talking with you soon. Be back here next week for the virtual Bible study. And in the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired Word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the virtual Bible study brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the virtual Bible study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.